Scripture is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, found on page 28 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And what's really sweet is when those people who are normally scheduled to read and aren't able to read, someone steps up and reads for them. So we are thankful. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind and my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, you read on the sign out there that the sermon topic is, how will you use your talent? Well, we in the current language could see it both from a monetary standpoint, that talent. We don't normally refer to money as a talent, but in the Roman world, the world of the day where this was written, Jesus is speaking, and these are red letter in a red letter Bible if you're reading it. These are the words of Christ, Jesus, not the words of Paul in an epistle, but these are the words of Christ, Jesus. And he's continuing this discourse that he's had with his disciples. And they've asked him, what's the kingdom like? And when is the kingdom of heaven coming? And when is the Savior returning? Because he's told them that he's on the way to Jerusalem. He's going to give of himself. He's going to be tried. He's going to be persecuted. He's going to be killed. But that he will return. All of these things are a challenge to the disciples, and they want answers. And they want answers in a frame and a form that they can understand. Well, Jesus, he gives you what you want, but he doesn't give it to you necessarily in the way that you want it. You have to look for it. You have to be listening. Because they want signs, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees have said, Lord, show us a sign that you're the Messiah. Well, excuse me, fed the 5,000 with a little lad's lunch, brought the dead to life, cleansed lepers. You know, what miracle did they want? The point is, we will always be asking for miracles. So this is the third part of a discourse that Jesus started in the last part of Matthew 24, continued last week in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 14, where he's telling us the parable, how the kingdom of heaven is. See, he's not giving them signs about what they can see. He's saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. For those 10 bridesmaids, the five that were wise and the five that were not so wise, and the lampstands or the oil. Well, this week, what he's doing is he's telling another parable. But he's framing it in a sense of an investment made by a master to his slaves. And he's left three slaves behind. The master's going on a journey, so he's entrusted his fortune to them. And it's in the form of a talent. And a talent in the Roman world was, depending on different commentators, they've said either half of all the wages that a man would earn in his entire lifetime, or all the wages that he would earn in an entire lifetime. So this talent that this master has entrusted to a slave, to the first one, five talents, five times what this man would earn in his entire lifetime, and he's given it to him. To another, two talents, twice what he would ever be able to earn in his entire lifetime. And to a third, that last one, one talent. Well, gee, why'd he give him five and two and one? It says in verse 15, to another one, to each according to his ability. Does the master know you? Does he know what you're capable of? Absolutely. How well does he know you? You know, we think we can hide. We think we have the face that everybody sees. God knows us. God knows us. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows the plan he has for you. Jeremiah 29. So, he's given to each of these men, each of these servants, each of these slaves, five, two, and one talent according to each of their abilities. Well, the one who is given five, what does he do? He goes right then, he goes and invests the money. He trades. He puts it at risk. Oh, okay. It's the other guy's money. So, hey, if I don't get anything out of it. But he's going faithfully. He's not going expecting nothing back. He's saying, look, the master gave me this five talents, this huge sum, and I'm going to invest it. And what happens? He gets five talents back. Five talents back. And the other one who was given two, he takes these two talents and he goes and he trades with them and puts them at risk and gets two back. And what does the one do that had the one talent? He buries it. Well, that's... He didn't put it at risk. He didn't put it at risk. Well, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. And here's This verse 19 is probably the most difficult and most hard because it tells us, as Jesus was telling those disciples, as he was telling the apostles, he was saying, you know what? What you've been given, the talents, the gifts that you've been given, the money that was given to you and trusted to you, there's going to be a day when you are expected to come to accounting with the Master for what you've been given. The one who took and buried his, how much is he going to get out? What, imagine the fear that had to be as a driving concern for this guy. That he would bury it. What's your image of God? Is he this cruel taskmaster who is just ready to ride on you? Or is he this loving Savior? Is he this Redeemer? Is he this Holy Spirit that's empowering you and leading you into a life that's more abundant? Not that you just have more life, but that you'd have it abundantly. That it would be of joy. After the long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. There will be an accounting. There will be a judgment day. There are people out there that say, oh, no, God's a God of grace and mercy. Yes. Yes, absolutely. But we will be called to account for what he has invested and given to each of us. Then the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. Oh, joy. And not just joy because he could sit there and say, oh, Lord, look what I did for you. Is look, Lord, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. You gave me 5 and I have traded with it and I have invested. And look at the way, the blessing that I've received. And I give you the 5 that you invested plus 5. And how is that servant? What is said to him? The master said to him, you know, the words that we all want to hear. You know, Marie, I know she heard these. This is what Marie heard when she got up there. Well met. Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Well met, good and faithful servant. Well met, good and faithful servant. I will put you in charge of many things. Because when we are faithful, when we see what God has given us, and when we invest it, when we employ it, when we put ourselves into it, and the return is back, and it's a blessing to God, and it's a blessing to us. We're all blessed with it. And the one with the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. Oh, you know, a few generations ago, even using the word slave had a negative connotation. And I'm not trying to make it trite, but you know what? Throughout humanity, there are slavery. There is slavery. Now, notice I said there is slavery. Whether it's the sex trade, whether it's any other economic servitude, slavery, there is still slavery rampant around this world even today. Doesn't have to be someone who's of a certain ethnic or racial demographic. In Southeast Asia, there are young ladies who are sold into slavery, young boys in Africa, young girls in Africa, around the world, Mexico, South America, Central America, even here in the United States. If drugs isn't slavery, I don't know what it is. So when we think of slavery as a negative connotation, absolutely. Because what is it? It's someone who is a prisoner or a slave to something. Well, these servants or slaves are servants and slaves of Christ. Paul himself says, I am a slave of God. I am a slave to Christ. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one who had five, the one who returned two, each of them received the same accolade. Because God had invested in each of them talents according to their abilities. And they put them at risk. They invested them. They traded with them. And when the master came calling with an accounting time frame, they had something to show for it other than what they had been left with. And the one with Then the one who had received the one talent came forward saying, and this one's always caused me some trouble. He says, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. What's that slave or servant's image of the master? Oh, so negative. How do you view God? How do you view your master as someone who's grinding your body into grist, your soul, or is it someone who is uplifting and there preaching and pouring love and grace into you? So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, gather what I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, the thought of how this servant viewed God, how he looked at the talent that he had been given. And he was so afraid and had such a harsh image of his master that he took and buried it. Well, he got his one talent back, so golly, no loss, but no gain. In a worldly investment future, that's probably better than some. I mean, in about 10 years ago, how many people lost their investments? I mean, you didn't have a rate of return. You had a huge loss. Some people lost as much as half of their portfolio's balances. So I guess getting back what you invested, at least, would have been good in that thing. But think about this. This is Jesus saying, this is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of heaven. And this is how it will be. That those who are given much or little, it's not how much you return, but it's that you do return. And it should be more than what you were given. The one talent that you were given, if you were given one talent, whether it's to play music or to sing or to counsel someone or just to be a friend to somebody, to make them, when you walk up there and look at them and shake their hand and say, hi, how are you doing? When that brings a smile to somebody's face, golly, that's a huge rate of return. That's a huge investment. Because when you love someone else, When you put yourself at risk, you have taken a talent that God has given and you have given Him a return, because that's what He wants. He wants us to be in fellowship with each other. Yes, some people are gifted with musical talents. Yes, some people are gifted with other talents and gifts. Hallelujah! Then, gosh, I can't play that organ nearly. Matter of fact, I can tell you right now, Janice is a much better person at that than I ever would be. And it'll be a lot nicer to listen to her play than me. I hear you. I hear you. I feel you. But you know what? Each and every one of us is given a set of gifts and talents that it is ours. Ours alone. Sierra and Sydney, nobody knows what gifts and talents you guys have been given. Only time will tell. But I can tell you one thing, if you give your heart to God, then there is going to be grace and glory, and so many gifts and talents are going to make their way out. And you know what? You may think you don't have any gifts and talents, but I'll tell you what, you make me smile every time I see you. And if all that is, if that's all you can do, then hallelujah. That's like getting the one talent and returning it with two, doubling up. Not burying it someplace. Don't take the gifts and talents that God has given you and don't invest them. Don't take the gifts and talents that God has given you and just hug them to yourself and, oh, how great and miserly and happy I am. Let me sit here and count my one talent. No! And my voice. That's why I have a microphone. The point of this is those that were given five or two or one, the gifts, the talents, whether it's an amount of money or whether we look at it in the way that we do now, the gifts and talents that we have, it's to use those to the glory of God. It's to invest them in other people, to invest them in the lives of people. You know, when I told them last night, one of the beautiful things, you know, and you got to see how this works. You don't know how it's going to end up at the end, but it's one of those wonderful, powerful, beautiful things. The food bank, the food ministry. You know, how much money was invested by Clarksbury United Methodist Church? And Fran, don't tell me how much it was. I mean, you could probably tell me, but it's immaterial, the dollar figure. But I tell you, when this church took and invested the money into those 600 bags, and they took those 600 bags and distributed them throughout this entire community. We missed a few places, I'm sure. But boy, 600 is quite a few. And when we put those bags out, there was an investment made in that. But you know what? It was also an invitation. It was an invitation for others to partnership, to people in our community, as they could, as they were gifted, as they were talented, to contribute back into that. And we had 58 people, over 200. I know you could tell me exactly how many bags. But I know that that was probably twice what we had invested, if not three times what we invested as a church. Clarksbury is a wonderful servant. And that's not just any one person. That's Clarksbury United Methodist Church. That's not Ken Cleveland. That's not Fran. That's not Al. That's not Carl. That's not any one of us. Because a church is a body of believers. A church is a body of believers empowered by the Holy Spirit to do more than what they themselves could do on their own. Even if you don't count going out into the community and getting them. But when those people came in here and received that food, that was the five talents at work. That was the two talents at work. That was certainly not the one talent that was just taken out and buried. Because God, the kingdom of heaven, received a much larger return. And that kingdom of heaven, those were the families. 158? 185? Yeah, but how many people? There were 58 people. Yeah, 58 families, but yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is that's the type of investment that we make. That's the type of investment that we're called on to make. And you know what? There's this, what did I do with it? Did you guys get a card? Okay. One of the things that I will never tell you is I need money, or the church needs money. You already know that. The church doesn't need money. The church needs your gifts, your talents. They're His tithes. And what these sheets are, all they are is a pledge. We're going to take them up on next Saturday. It's our Sunday, but Commitment Sunday. So what I urge you to do is take that card home and think about the gifts and talents that you have. And Sunday, when on Commitment Sunday, when we take those up, we'll have that. And we will have been responsive to the call. He tells us to give a tithe, His tithe. And what is that? 10%. You figure it out. But is it an amount of money? Or is it an investment? When people come and join the church, next week Terry's going to, she's transferred her membership from Stanleytown United Methodist Church to here, Clarksburg United Methodist Church. So she's going to be joining the church next Sunday. That is, if she doesn't hit me over the head with something. Transferring our membership. But when we join a church, when we join the church, we pledge that we will participate and we will give of our gifts, our talents, our prayers, our service, and our witness. And that's what this is. So this Commitment Sunday is not just on a monetary, you know, I'm going to pledge so much money. But there's no one here who can't pray. And over the last couple of weeks, or the last week or so, I haven't been able to sing as well. There's hope that I'll be able to sing again. But those are the gifts and talents that God has given us. It's not just money. Can you pray? Can you visit? Can you, you know, I look at next tomorrow when these quarts of soup that people worked on diligently are going to go into these homes of these people who may or may not have anything else on their table or in their refrigerator today or tomorrow for a meal. The other thing is they're going to go out there and they're going to pray with them. They're going to talk with them. They're going to give scripture. They're going to give the word of God. So this is what God's talking about, what Jesus is talking about when He talks of this talents. So my question back to you again is not whether or not you were given five talents, not whether or not you were given two talents, and not whether or not you were just given one talent. But what are you going to do with what you were given? What are you going to do with what you were given? What are you going to do with what you were given? Will you hear, well met, good and faithful servant? You've been faithful in little. Come, I will make you. I will give you control and charge over many or much. And we certainly don't want to hear the other. Cast this one into the uttermost, or there will be gnashing of teeth. Oh, how horrible. May peace and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you. Shalom.